Have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter 3 is a key text. There'll be a few other scriptures, not too many. But we are talking about living in the perilous times that we're living in, our culture, our world. When we say culture, it's the world we live in. How many of you have been, grew up in the 50s? You grew up in the 50s. Okay? I did, but I was very young. I was very young. But I do remember this. Television shows really changed. There was prayer at the table, even on them Westerns. Now, my dad liked boxing. He liked boxing. I had something to share to him when I got older. I said, you'd see these boxers, and back then, you even seen some of them like the football players do. You know, they were in their corners praying, and then when they got up, they beat the snot out of one another. That's what I told them. All right, everybody likes different things. Different strokes for different folks, I guess. But anyway, I got a kick out of that. All right, well, pretty much do the same thing in football, don't they? Well, they're not boxing, but they tackle them and knock them down. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, use these lips of clay to do what you need to do today for each and every one of your people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Surviving our present culture. Surviving, what can I give you to help you to survive in this culture we're living in? I can tell you that our culture today is not friendly to Christians. Now, I ask you how many of you grew up in the 50s, because in the 50s, there was a lot of revivals, a lot of preaching, a lot of respect for Christianity and pastors and clergy. And boy, has things changed since then. Today, we have to learn to live in a world that's opposed to our beliefs, opposed to our values, even perhaps even opposed to our lifestyles. And we have to be careful that we're not overcome by it. It's what happened in the church in Corinth that I read about. They were compromised with the culture around them. They couldn't receive Paul's message to them as spiritually mature believers because they were still like babies in Christ. They weren't growing like they should have been. Their growing was stunted because of the culture they lived in. They allowed things in the world to affect them, as we do today. The same thing's happening to us today. There are some believers, they're committed to Christ and they're growing spiritually. They're dependent on the Holy Spirit, and they are trusting in the word of the Lord. But then there's others who are lustful and immature, and they've been compromised with the world. And they have adopted the world's ideas, values, and practices, and may I add, lifestyles as well. When Paul left Crete, he wrote a letter to instruct Titus, who was a local pastor. And the culture in Crete was very similar to ours today, filled with rebellious people, vain, empty talkers, deceivers. And Paul instructed Titus to appoint elders in the churches who would hold firmly the faithful words in the teaching of God's word, that they would be able to exhort with sound doctrine and to refute those who contradicted it. They were to hold fast to the faithful word. And you see, that's the key today to living in this world, is to hold fast to the faithful word of God without being conformed to the world. We live in the world, but we don't need to be part of the world. In our secular culture that we are living in, it's dominated by materialism, immorality, sensuality, perversions of every sort. People live in defiance of God's law, believing they can do whatever they please without any consequence. And the danger that we face is very subtle. It's a very subtle influence on us. Our culture affects us little by little, more than what you might really be aware of, because it's little by little. It seeps into our minds through the news we listen to, and it brings damage into our own lives. It brings damage into our families, and it brings damage into our churches. There's corrupting philosophies and ideas and values that's creeping into many churches today. And the only way that we're going to confront it is to cling to God's word and let God's word influence us more and more than anything else. We must be influenced by the word. Why should we hold firmly to God's word? Well, I want to talk about God's word. The Bible is unique because God's the author. His Holy Spirit has worked through men to record his thoughts and put them in written form that we call our Bible. The scriptures reveal God to us. It reveals his power, his works, his character, his truths, his plan of redemption, and instructions for mankind. His instructions are the best instructions for a society or a civilization to survive. Trust me, he's had some practice. And it's his instruction booklet that many think they can go through life without even looking at it. And then they wonder why they have these problems. The Bible's the foundation for our beliefs. We don't live by opinions, but by the principles from God's word that helps to shape our conduct, our conversation, and yes, to help build godly character in each and every one of us. The scriptures are eternal. We as human beings are not. Human philosophies and ideas are like grass that withers and flowers that fade. But the word of our God stands forever. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. You see, our world, the culture, thinks that the Bible is outdated and antique, and it's inadequate for our times. You're aware of that. That's how they feel about the Bible. And some even think that it's a hate book. Oh. Do you know that's how they'll get around shutting down churches and you won't be able to get any discounts for tithing or giving offerings because they'll take away our status because we're considered hate speech. We're considered hate speech because the people that are living that way don't want to change their lifestyle. And that's why we're considered hate speech. And folks, if you're not watching or listening, it's coming. It's already here. All you got to do is send some officials in to sit and listen to one of my messages and we'll be shut down. That won't make me stop. I'll just get better. And keep coming back, maybe get them saved. Amen. The purpose of God's word. The Lord gave us his word so we could be saved. The gospel is his plan of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. It tells us how to receive forgiveness of sins through faith and be reconciled with our creator. God's word is given so we can live godly lives. So many people today want to live opposite of godly lives. I see such a change as I was growing up. We need to learn to cling to God's word. We need to be transformed by God's word. And it's not going to happen if we only hold to God's word very loosely, as many choose to do so. Do you know my neighbor and I have talked about this. We know some people that choose certain churches because they don't expect much out of them. You know, they like those churches because those churches don't preach anything to make them stop living the way they like to live. See, I like to live this way. I like loose living. So I make sure I find a church that don't talk much about it because I don't want to make any sacrifices, believe me. I like just the way I'm living. I wonder how that's going to fly when they draw their last breath. Huh? How's that going to work out for them? When they stand before their almighty creator, wonder how that'll work. Not very well. Not very well. Power of God's word. The Lord's almighty, his word is too. It has the power to change lives and help us to live as God desires. You know, that's the biggest argument we can have as a Christian when people say, I don't believe in God or your Bible stuff. Well, let me tell you, I don't care what you believe, but I can tell you this. I have seen God's word change people, and you explain to me how that works. I've seen some pretty rough people, and God's word just turned them around and changed them, and that's the power of God, and I know there's a God in heaven. I know that the Bible is true because I've seen the transforming power of the Almighty God and his word in their lives. So you can say what you want, but I'm not going to change this mind because I've seen it. I have seen it. There's a big difference between what thinking you saw something or if you really did see it. Well, I've seen it. I've seen it. And it's the power of God, and it's amazing. It's amazing. Power of God's word provides hope and help during hardships. It gives guidance and wisdom. It lifts burdens. It brings us joy and peace and confidence and courage. It keeps us from sin. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Psalms 119 and 11. It brings us back to God when we stray. It equips us to identify and refute error so that we can guard ourselves from false doctrines and ideas. It gives us assurance and equips us to serve God in so many various ways. God's word is our anchor in a corrupt culture, an anchor. The world does its best to try to drag us away from the Lord, but it can't steal our salvation. It can deceive us and tempt us to go out of to lose our anchor and to let hold of our anchor and to leave it go. It tries. But if we're willing to hang on to the anchor, I can assure you, we'll make it through the storm. We'll make it through the storm. We'll have an unwavering faith. Many times people doubt the word of God. It usually happens when we dismiss certain verses or we choose certain passages that forbid what we want to do. And so we try to change the Bible to fit our way of living. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. The Lord had a lot of time to think about this. He's had a lot of civilizations. And I have seen this happen. And you would think after civilization that we would learn from our mistakes, but we continue to repeat them. We could start in the very beginning, the children of Israel, and the Lord told them about the Canaanites. Stay away from the Canaanites. They're not good for you. They'll steal your hearts. They'll steal you. They'll have you believe in their gods. And they went after their gods. Yes, the Lord warned that would happen. And you can see it in every civilization. You can look for it. It's there. And it's in our civilization today. Many foreigners are coming into our country and coming the right way. But if you go to their country, you got to listen to everything they tell you to do. Here, it's a free-for-all. And if you talk about Jesus, you keep your mouth shut. You didn't mention Jesus. Hello, folks. This is my food. This is my country. This is where I was born and raised. If I want to serve Jesus, I will serve Jesus. I will talk about Jesus. And if you don't like it, you can either talk about Jesus and get saved or go back where you came from. I'm sorry. I hope everybody heard that. Amen. Do I have another amen? Okay. Boy, we're on the same page. I thought we might be. Apply scriptures to our lives. We need to learn to apply the scriptures to our lives. When we read God's word, the transforming power of God's word is, oh, I didn't know that I shouldn't be doing that. I'm sorry, Lord. I'll try to do better. Please forgive me. You see, that's what the Bible does. That's the power of the Bible. When you read it and you see that you've been doing some things wrong, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry that you weren't happy with me. Please forgive me. And that's what we do when we apply the scripture to our lives. You see, to our lips, to our eyes. We want to have pure lives. And in order to do that, we have to fill our minds with the purity of God's word. Every decision we make should be guided by the biblical principles that we find in God's word. What are some of the ways that we can hold firmly to God's word? Well, we need to read it carefully. We need to meditate on it daily. We need to study it seriously. We need to believe it wholeheartedly. We need to obey it consistently. We need to apply it personally, and we need to share it confidently. And so what happens if we don't cling to the scriptures? What happens if we no longer read our Bible or even have any regards to the word of God? Well, what happens is our world or culture gets our attention. Other things begin to influence us. The world wins our affections. Our focus is redirected from the Lord to the culture. Culture topics dominate our conversation. The world influences the way we dress. Our choice of music is influenced. The culture steals the money that we once gave to the Lord's work. We alter agendas to make time for worldly pursuits. We fill our minds with sensual and immoral thoughts. Our witness becomes ruined, and eventually we are led into idolatry. And you can trace that in every civilization. Every civilization has been affected by it. And we won't be any different if we don't make changes. But we can make changes. You see, the tragedy for believers is they compromise with the world. That can be the tragedy. And so their lives become wasted. God had plans for us. Each and every one of us, God has made plans for us. He had plans for us to do things for him. But our lives can be wasted if we turn our head from God's word or him. And the only solution is to repent and turn away from the culture and back to the Lord and his word. And he promises that he will hear you. He will hear you. And he will heal your backsliding. That's what the Bible says, Old Testament passages. I will heal your backsliding. Come back to me. So what influences you more today? I'm closing with this. What influences you more, the Bible or the world, the culture? Do you accept things today as normal? Can you see how corrupt the culture has become? How much has changed during your lifetime? Wow. How much has changed? You know what's remarkable and what's good? Is that even some people that haven't been brought up in church or never been to church are seeing this. They're seeing it. Even some of them are seeing it. And you know what? It's opened their heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's opened them. And we're living in a good time. We can share. People need the Lord. They need the Lord. Amen. They need him. Everywhere. They need the Lord. Look what you have. We take for granted that we have love and people here in the church that come and hug us and hold us and pray for us. Some of them people have nothing, have nobody. Them nobody. People need him. They need him. Won't you be a vessel and help to share what God's been doing in your life so you can share it with them and say, well, I don't got all the answers and I've never been very smart, but this is one thing I can tell you. Put your trust in the Lord because you're going to need him. You're going to need a friend that sticks closer than any brother. From time to time, you're going to need a good friend. And I'll tell you, he's been a good friend to me. I'm glad that I have him for a friend because I really needed him. I've needed him through the years. I needed somebody that I could depend on. I'm so grateful and so thankful to be in this house today, in this place that we call the church. We come and worship him each and every Sunday, and we pray for one another. And you know how wonderful that is when somebody says, I'm praying for you. I know you've been having some problems, but you know, I've been praying for you. Whew, man, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. I cherish your prayers. I love your prayers. I want your prayers. But there's others that need to have them too. What effect is news having on your thoughts, on your attitudes, on your emotions, and on your practices? How much does it occupy your time compared with the time that you spend with the Lord? How does it compare? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I've shared what you've laid in my heart. It ministered to me when I was preparing for it. It did speak to my heart. Maybe you want to tell the Lord something today. If you do, I'm going to keep my eyes closed. My eyes are closed. If you want to be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I think you were talking to me today. Put your hand up. I got mine up. The Lord always is talking to me. And I appreciate it. Lord, I believe you were trying to talk to me today about this. And I want you to help me. Help me with this. Anybody else want to put your hand up? Mine's still up. I'm not looking at anybody else. This is just between you and the Lord, you know. The Lord sees your hands. He sees everyone. He sees your hearts, your thoughts, and he sees your hands. You want to put yours up? Say, Lord, help me here. I need some help. I'm not where I should be. I'm not where I should be. I don't know. Sometimes I just feel cold and different. I need you to help me here in my life. I need a touch, a fresh touch in my life. You want to slip your hand up? He's watching. I'm not. I just need a fresh touch in my life. Holy Spirit, touch me. Touch me. Holy Spirit, touch me. Help me. Help me. Now you can put them down. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each and every one who may put their hand up. Maybe they all did. I don't know. You know. So, Lord, this word spoke to their hearts like it did mine. And I want to walk closer to you, Lord. I want, especially in this world we're living in, I sometimes do get affected by the news and things I hear, and I'm sorry. I need to stay more tuned to you, because with you, I won't get so upset as I do when I hear news. So forgive me, Lord. Let me spend a little more time with your word, Lord. In fact, a whole lot more time would help. Help me to spend more time looking in your word and reading your word and praying. Spend time praying. Lord, I don't only just I want you to touch these people that put their hands up, but I want you to touch their families. I want you to touch their children. Their children may not be here today, but they were raised in church and they know better. They know how they should serve you, and they're not. They're just not where they should be. And I pray for them right now, Lord, wherever they may be, that you will speak to them somehow through a radio station or a TV program, whatever it might be, a book or a pamphlet they may pick up. But Lord, I pray that you will speak to their hearts. Remind them of their childhood days when they went to church and Sunday school. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to their hearts and remind them and bring them back, Lord. You said if we train a child while they are young, they won't depart from it. But, Lord, some of them are on a detour. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bring them back. Can they find their way back, Lord? I pray they'll find their way back. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're going to go over to fellowship hall, and we're going to fellowship around some soup. I pray your blessing upon our food. I pray your blessing upon our fellowship. And when it's time to go home, give us all a safe trip to our homes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.